This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.
On iRadio,
money. We all need it. We all worry about it. And no matter how much we earn, it feels like it disappears just very quickly. And with rising rents, higher costs of living, and more pressure than ever to save for a home, a lot of adults are asking the same question. Where is my money actually going? And how do I get ahead? To help us break it down from the best practical saving tips to how you can realistically save for a mortgage while renting and why you can still feel broke even after a pay rise, I'm joined now by finance expert Cian Carolan. Cian, thanks for joining me on the show. First off, let's start simple. What is the biggest mistake adults are making when it comes to saving?
Yeah, so I think the biggest mistake is, on one hand, they're not doing it. I think Ireland as a country, on one hand, is really good at saving. And I think it depends on the scenario. So I think young people get really tuned in when it comes to saving for a house, saving for a deposit, to get on the property ladder. And then I think often what we see is that those habits go out the window very quickly. So really good at home ownership preparation. They save for years. I think the average, and some will have an issue with this, but the average is 4.5 years. That's how long people typically take to save for their first home. I know there'll be many that will take a lot longer than that. And some are very lucky that they manage to do it quicker. But average is 4.5 years to save. But I suppose you get the keys, you move in, and then often the savings habits just go to the wayside.
So there are things that we should be just maintaining all the time, even if there's not something we're specifically saving for.
You see, the thing is that people don't realise that there's always something to save for, and that could be the holiday that's coming up in the next 6 or 7 months. It could be changing the car in 2 or 3 years' time, or it could be something a lot more further down the line in terms of, be that future kids' education or retirement. And there's never too early a point to be thinking about, certainly the retirement picture, the earlier the better. But it sounds really boring and rigid, but the reality is there is always something to save for. But there's nothing that hooks people more into saving than saving for your own house. But it's just, I suppose the point is, it doesn't stop there. That's probably generally the starting point. And it's not to say you can't have fun. It's not to be a spoiler of fun. It's just to say that, you know, there's always something to save for, but just some things are a little less obvious than others.
What about for people who feel like once they've gotten paid and paid all of their bills and rent and all of that, that they don't have anything left at the end of the month? What should those people be doing?
Yeah, and to be honest, that probably feels like a lot of young people's situation at the minute, and that's really tricky, right? So there's no silver bullet to solve that. Okay, so what can you do? I suppose you probably can get a little bit more technical and detailed around how much money is coming in. Quite often people themselves a little bit of a pay increase in some ways, because they find ways to cut back on certain things that either A, they forgot they were paying for, or B, that they didn't realize they were paying so much for. So it's not a case of cutting everything out. It's, I suppose, cutting out the stuff that isn't being utilized enough, and then cutting back on, where possible, some of the more expensive bills. If it's a case that you can manage to save 10 or 20 euro per month on a bill that still has to go out, the sum of the parts there can add up to a meaningful enough saving. And then once you've done that, and if it's a case that you just simply still don't have enough money to live off every month, or there's nothing left over after everything has been paid out and you're down to the bare absolute minimum requirement, the really harsh reality is that there's only one way then to make a difference moving forward, and that's, you got to work on getting the salary up. And that sounds very, very hard for people to take, because there's limited control around that, but there's always things, and it's a longer term play, but there's always things we can do to build our future income position. And that could be further educating in your own field. It could be taking on more responsibility, even if you're not getting paid for that additional responsibility, taking it on and kind of increasing your value. And then at some point or another, either your current employer will give you the pay rise you deserve, or you might have to look further afield to try and get the money that you're worth.
Would it be true to say that everyone talks about budgeting nowadays to a certain extent, but with the whole tap to pay habit being so strong, and also people can sign up for so many subscriptions, whether they're for streaming services and stuff, and nearly forget about them, have we lost a bit of awareness to a certain extent of where our money is going?
Yeah, well, I mean, quite simply, we need to ask ourselves, when's the last time we logged into our banking app and actually looked at what we were spending? Not just what's the balance and what's left for the month. It's, well, like, what am I actually spending my money on? And I think a lot of people are operating dual bank accounts, where they might have the account they get paid into, and maybe some of their bills are coming out of that account, or all of their bills are coming out of that account. And they might move a lot of their money to their secondary account. Now, nowadays, a lot of young people are using the likes of Revolut or N26 or Monzo, if you've been living, say, in the UK, and they're coming into this market now as well in this space. But, you know, largely Revolut and N26 for their day-to-day spending. And so we probably don't look at that closely enough. And the advent of being able to tap for things, it's brilliant. It's super convenient. But often with convenience becomes, comes mindlessness. And it's nothing sinister, but it's just the sum of the parts. Those small little taps, when they're not considered, they add up to a lot of money at the end of the month. And that could be an order on Uber Eats or Just Eat, and, a takeaway because we're too tired to cook. And a couple of them add up to a lot of money over time. It's not to say don't do them. It's to say that we need to be more mindful with our spending. Yeah, so it's budgeting, everyone talks about it. I harp on about it all the time. We talk to our clients about it all the time because, a pay rise isn't always instant, your employer won't always give it to you. So you have to look at what you can control. And I would always argue that no matter how little someone is earning, there's always an element of spending that's happening that, not that it can be avoided, that it could be, you can be more mindful of it. Because if there's ways to cut back, and there generally always is, sometimes that's the immediate, easiest answer.
When it comes to setting a goal for saving, as you said there, like, as in 4.5 years, the average for people to get homes, that's quite stark when you think about it. It can take people longer. But if people do want to start aiming towards that or other things, should you have a mentality of save what I can, or should you be setting a clear goal of how much you want to save?
Yeah, I think different people are, motivated differently and have better willpower. I think willpower is something that really is the biggest differentiator between how much discipline one person needs versus another. So I'm a spender by nature. So I have to set aside a set amount, a deliberate amount, and it has to be intentional. And if I commit to doing it, I treat it like my mortgage repayment. I just treat it like a non-negotiable, and it'll happen. Because if I don't set a set amount, I'm less likely to save as much as I would if I set a deliberate amount. So I personally feel what works for me is I set a target amount to save each month. If you leave it that, I'll see how much I have at the end of the month, it's quite likely that you're not going to save as much as you're capable of otherwise saving. So I tend to say almost as soon as you're paid in the month, decide on the amount and commit to that amount for however long it is that you need to save for to achieve the amount that it is that you need, be it for a car, for a house, for a holiday. You can generally work backwards. The goal is going to cost a set amount of money, give or take. And then you'll have a certain period of time in which you'll want to save that money. And then that kind of determines what the amount needs to be. And again, for me, I need a bit of discipline around this stuff. So I tend to need to have a goal in mind to be motivated to want to save. But it has to be one of the first things that happens when I get paid, not the last thing based on how much I've left at the end of the month.
So it needs to be nearly instantaneous if you can. I understand what you mean. Like, once it's gone or when it's put in a certain place, you're probably less likely to touch it. For people that are hoping someday to get mortgage approval, is there anything that people commonly do that hurts their chances that people should really know about now before they start going down that route?
Yeah, I think sometimes people overcomplicate the process because in a lot of ways, mortgage approval has become very formulaic nowadays. And what I mean by that is it's kind of computer says yes or no with a lot of it. And there's very little that you can do to influence that. But things that can kind of undo things for people is, you know, I'm applying for a mortgage in February. And, you know, December happened 2 months ago and it was Christmas and I didn't save because Christmas is always, and December is always an expensive month with nights out. And, you know, and that 1 month blank can sometimes undo all of the good of the other 5 months. I try to say to people, look, a mortgage is a 12-month annual ongoing commitment. Just because Christmas happens doesn't mean the mortgage repayment doesn't happen. And that's the type of discipline the lenders want to see with monthly savings patterns. And you, in the same way as you wouldn't turn around to your landlord and say, I can't pay you this month because Christmas. And, you know, it doesn't work like that. That's one of the more common kind of mistakes that people trip up on. Others is, I suppose it's never been easier to go and borrow short-term money. And that could be buying the new iPad or the new device or paying for the new holiday or whatever it might be on buy now, pay later finance, where it's interest free, so it's free money, but it is it really, or is it even without consequence? Because if you go and buy a couch or pay for a holiday and all of a sudden you have two or three or four different buy now, pay later finance repayments, they could amount to a lot of money. And the optics on those aren't always great because it allows you to buy something possibly before you can afford it otherwise. So things like that tend not to look all that favorably. Not to say they're deal breakers in isolation, but they don't do your case any good in my view.
Is our lifestyle like inflating in price? Is that another part of all of this when people are struggling to save?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I talk about this on my Instagram page a good bit, that life has never been as expensive as it is at the minute. And that is a harsh reality that we have very little control over. And so, you know, control the controllables, that kind of cliched phrase, but it's never truer than when it comes to your money. And so if your shopping bill is never more expensive than it is now, you know, you've got to live, you've got to feed yourself, etc. There's only so much you can do to limit that. So that's why you have to be so conscious around the money in and money out. And it's not that pleasant, but I think when you put a good structure in place, when you set out, well, what are my regular monthly outgoings? And some of them are going up, be it your utility bills, your gas, your electricity, be it if you have private medical insurance, that's going up here on your car insurance is an expense as well. The problem is people don't itemize everything on a month-to-month basis and they don't track it. And you almost need to run your household finances like a business. Because if this was your livelihood and this was your business, you would track almost every piece of money spent. You would track everything that's coming in and you would make sure that it's going to good use. And you need to treat your household finances like that. But once you put the structure in place once, then you might only need to sit down once a month just to track to make sure that there's nothing that's been gone out of your account in the last month that shouldn't have. Or, you know, if an annual bill, be it a home insurance policy or be it a car insurance policy, that it's not automatically renewing at a higher premium than you were previously paying, that, you know, set reminders for yourself to review these things before the renewal comes along.
I love that analogy of treating your own household or personal finances like you would a business, because that is so true. You'd be so diligent if it was your business and you'd have your receipts and you'd have everything written down and you'd have everything factored in. So that's a really good analogy. I think that's something.
And you probably wouldn't spend all the money. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? As in, you'd probably want to leave yourself with a bit of a buffer just for the next thing that you might need to pay for. And it's quite the same, isn't it? It's just making sure that you don't run at a loss. Who does want to? Nobody does. And in the same way as if your business isn't making enough money, you go and find ways to try and make more money. I know it sounds easier said than done, but I mean, I've been that soldier on a really, really low salary many, many years ago. I think back to 2012, my first job was less than 21,000 euro in the bank, a full-time job. That was off the back of having gotten a degree in college. And I realized really quickly, you know, I either wait for my employer to pay me what I think I'm worth, or I go and take it into my own hands. And that's what I've had to do over the course of my career, is make moves strategically where I feel like I've earned my value. And if my employer meets it, I stay. And if they don't, I have to make the move. And that's, you know, I say that as an employer now, where I realize that, you know, the troubles that young people have in trying to get on the property ladder, or even just to survive month on month, and, you know, where they've earned the position to earn more, I try to meet that because I understand how difficult it is. And I understand that if you don't, you lose people. So, you know, going into the employee issue, you know, if it's a case that what you have isn't enough, and you've exhausted all measures in terms of your own expenditure, you got to take certain things into your own hands at times.
Cian, if people want to follow along with you on social media and maybe see some more advice, where can they find you?
Yeah, so we run two channels. So I personally run my own page is at Cian Carroll and Finance. And then, you know, if you ever get bored of me, we've a really strong team of people on our D&G Financial Services page, and they're brilliant. And they cover all areas of personal finance, from how to get a mortgage, as you know, to how to plan for the future in terms of long-term saving, retirement planning, and just day-to-day practical advice from a lot of really good, capable people. So that handle is at dngfs.ie. Lots of really good content there.
Cian, thank you so much for sharing all of this with me on iRadio's group chat this evening, and do enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks a million, Valerie.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.